Be seated, please. We have entered another season in our walk. We have entered another season in the walk. If you have the capacity to read the signs of the time, to read in the spiritual, you will know that we have entered another season in our walk. It is called, in the days of his power, my people shall be willing. The people of God are willing now. These are the days of God's power. These are the days of God's ability released upon the people of God. We shall just look at the prophetic message and I'll explain a number of things. How we can cooperate with God to see prophecies accomplished. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, here I am. I have come, O Lord, to do your will as it is recorded of me in the volume of the books. We live to fulfill prophecies about our lives. When God has given his word about us, the direction of our life is paved. The roadmap. That's why Paul had to tell some people, do not despise prophecies. Because by despising prophecy, you are actually despising the way of your success.
Bro Peter, kindly help us and just read. Kindly just read the prophetic message.
I will be sharing with us, how do we ensure that prophecies are accomplished? Ensuring that prophecies are accomplished in our lives. Before he reads for us, I'll give the second to the last announcement, the wedding of Brother Sam, Bola and Patricia Nabuire, coming up on the 19th. We all know about it, isn't it? By law, we have requested, we are meant to make at least three announcements, or we'll make the last one next Sunday, or it will be made next Sunday. Okay.
You have sown and sown and sown. You have cultivated your mother's arm and field. You have extended and stretched your horizons. You have believed to harvest the first things in your life and in your life. What you have received so far have just been to the first fruits. You have harvested just the first fruits. I have given to you but my first fruits, just the first fruits, oh children. My harvest is coming from you. My abundant harvest is coming from you. My super abundant harvest is upon you. My harvest, my harvest, my harvest, my harvest is on you. My great harvest is on you, and you shall behave like Joseph. You shall preserve the harvest. The store cities of Joseph shall be the house churches. The store cities of Joseph will be your house churches. The house churches will be the store cities of the harvest that I am about to pour out upon you, and which has already begun, and will go on and on and on, and go on and on increasingly. I send upon you the latter rain, rain of harvest. And I send upon you an abundant harvest. My abundant harvest. My super abundant harvest. And my miraculous harvest. As I have begun to show you in signs I give, your harvest, I give you harvest beyond your work. Harvest beyond what is just blessing. Harvest beyond even the Isaac blessings. I give you my miraculous harvest. Harvest beyond the 20-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I give you harvest beyond the 400-fold. And I give you harvest of 1,000-fold and 10,000-fold. Miracle harvest in all the domains. Harvest that will make you strong and mighty. Harvest that will make you strong and mighty community. A community of my people. A movement in might and in power. Harvest that will bring you elevation, visibility, and glory. A harvest that will make you like a big mountain, the mountain of the Lord. So that the nations will flock there and turn to you. So that the nations will flock there and turn to you. I give you a harvest that will make you an army, a movement, a nation, a people. A harvest that will make you like a sign upon the hills of the nations. A harvest that will make you like a sign upon the hills of the nations. I have accepted this other fast and prayer crusade. And I release upon you my harvest, my greatness, and my might. I accept my harvest, for you are my people. The harvest is upon you already. Thus says the Lord. I have commanded a deluge, a latter rain of harvest upon you. And I will bless the work of your hands. The rain of harvest that will bring a blessing upon the leaders, upon the pastors, upon the youths, upon the children, upon the missionaries, upon the churches, upon the mission fields, upon the nations, upon the race, upon the departments, upon the ministries, upon all the work of prayer, upon all the work of fasting, upon all the work of teaching, upon all the literature work, upon all the work of preaching, upon all the work of evangelism, upon all the work of church planting, upon all the work of construction, upon all the work of service and giving, upon all the works of mercy and compassion, upon all the work of training leaders, upon all the work of making disciples, upon all the work of raising workers, upon all the work of leadership, upon all the work of pastoring the flock, upon all the work of personal revival, upon the work of praise, upon the work of praise, upon the work of healing, deliverance, and miracles, upon the work of individuals, upon the work of teams, upon the work of churches, upon the work of the base, upon the work of the ministry, upon all the work you have done, I am pouring my blessings and the latter rain of the harvest upon all the work that you have done. The season of harvest is upon you. My special season of harvest is upon you. My abundant harvest in all domains is upon you finally. You will harvest immediately from the work you have done. You shall harvest immediately from the work you have done. You will harvest from the work of 1 year and before. You will harvest from the work of 5, 10 years before. You will harvest from the work of 20 years and 25 years. You will harvest from the work of 30, 40 years. You will harvest from the work of 45, 50, 60, and 70 years. You will harvest from the work of 100 years and 200 years. You will harvest and harvest and harvest and harvest. You will harvest from all the work you have done. You will harvest from all the work that others have done. You will harvest from the work and that the missionaries that came here at the beginning have done. You will harvest from your sowing, and you will harvest from the sowing of others. I have brought you to the latter rain of my harvest. You are my harvesters. 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 My harvesters in Cameroon. My harvesters in Africa. My harvesters in the nations. Go for the harvest I have given to you. Go for the harvest I have given to you. And save the harvest in my store cities, in my house churches, in my churches, in my mega churches, and in other house churches. Go out for my harvest. Amen.
Amen. We're just going to take a short time and explain. If you look at the prophetic message, the title is Rema talks about the word of God coming to us as applicable in what we are going through now. The logo is the written word. What is written in the Bible is called the logo. The Rema is the word of God from the Bible coming to us, made alive in the situation through which we are going. So both Rema and logo are both the word of God. That's this one is called the Rema. The word made alive. That's why no prophetic message will ever contradict the word of God. If you ever open through any place in the Bible, whatever is written there, you equally see it confirmed by scripture. If you go through the message just promises, promises, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. How generous, how rich our God is. In all, there's only one thing that the Lord said we should do. Who has seen it? Only one thing. Where's the word accept? Where is it? I'm took out the prophecy. Huh? Yeah, no, what happened? There's a perception of upset. Yeah. Yeah, get it. Because there are three things. The word has come to us. We should believe the word and we should act on the word.
It says, accept my harvest.
Yes, that's what believing. Read that portion in the editor.
Accept my harvest.
Let's act. We believe that the Lord has given to us the harvest. Let us say, Lord, we accept that you have given to us the harvest.
Lord, we accept that you have given us the harvest.
Lord, we accept that you have given.
Yes.
Then the next thing we are supposed to do is to do what? To go. We go. And if we do that, we witness results. Our part is the believing that the Lord has given to us the harvest. Then the next thing, if the Lord has given to us the harvest, we go for the harvest. Everybody say, I will go for the harvest.
I will go for the harvest.
I will call for the harvest.
There are four things when a prophetic message comes to you, what you can do to cooperate with God to see the prophecy accomplished.
Many of us have received prophetic messages. How can you cooperate with God to ensure that the message that came to you is accomplished? I started sharing a bit yesterday. Somebody opened to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. That's what I hear yesterday. I started sharing on that.
Number one, you must believe the Lord and believe the messenger who brought the word. You must believe the Lord and you must believe the messenger who brought the word.
Can someone read for us?
2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. We are looking at how to cooperate with God so that the prophetic message that came to us can be fully accomplished. Yes.
2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. In the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld."
Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld.
Have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful.
Have faith in his prophet, and you'll be successful. Have faith in the Lord your God, and he will uphold you. You will be strong, you will be firm, and you will be held high. But it does not end there. Have faith in his prophets. Have faith in the instrument that the Lord has used to bring you the word. And he said you will be successful.
You can receive this and say, after it was just a man who was speaking to me.
Am I even sure?
It will just be like praying gold to pigs, godly pearls to pigs.
You believe the Lord, you believe his prophet. If you have come to a point in your life where there is no one in your life that you can believe that the Lord passes through to give you his word, you will not go far. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be strong. Then have faith in his prophet, and you will be successful.
So that's what the accepting is all about.
You believe in the Lord your God, or you believe in the messenger of the Lord your God. So many prophecies may have come to you, and you have dropped them. But you say, well, they are always giving prophecies. Other people's lives have been shaped by prophecy, but yours may have been left behind because you don't believe in the prophet of the Lord.
Have you understood?
I would like you to get those two. You believe in the Lord, you must also believe in man. That man is called the prophet of the Lord to you.
Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be strong. But have faith in his prophet, and you'll be successful. I want somebody to pray that God will open our eyes to see
the place of men in our lives, the place of the instrument that God gives to order our lives. Because God does not appear physically as God. God appears to you as a man. God sent to you a man to show you the ways of God. In order that man may be saved, God took the form of a man. That's why Jesus did not come as God. Jesus took the form of a man to come to men. So God will appear to you as a man to bring the word of God to you through a man. Have you understood? Jesus was God, but to reach out to men, he took the form of a man. So for God to reach out to you, he sent his word to you through a man. Your life will be shaped by God sending his word to you through a man. God shared to you his way through a man. God bringing success into your life through a man. Believe in the Lord and you will be upheld. Believe his prophet and you will be successful.
I want somebody to pray that God will open our eyes to see the place of men in our lives.
Thank you very much for this revelation you are teaching us. The great comfort is of men in our lives. Indeed, Lord, for you to save us, you took the form of a man. Oh God, and for your word to us, you said your prophet sent a man to us. By the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God, how we believe, oh God, we pray and shall believe, oh God, how in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you have to give us, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God, that we shall speak the word to us, through the mouth of our leader, oh God, that is your word, in the name of Jesus Christ. I will be asked to believe, embrace, and walk with you. We pray for hearts that you believe, my dear, that as I believe your promise, Lord, I will be successful. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. The second thing, if prophecy will be accomplished in your life, is that you have to lay hold on it through prayer. God gives his word, but the enemy is also interested in those words. You must lay hold on the word of God through prayer. Has God ever given his word to you, to a person? You may have let it go because you did not pray for it. James chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18. Some you will be reading Moses, both of you. Moses, open to 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. Yeah.
James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, and it did not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
Those two verses, verse 17, is separated by a period of 3.5 years from verse 18. Moses, read chapter 17, 1 Kings.
First Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. And it reads, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishb in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Live here, turn eastward, and hide the Kereth Rabin east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there.' So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Rabin east of the Jordan and stayed there."
Thank you. So in James, he said Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Amen? But before that, we hear a man say, "Except by my word, there will be no rain on the land for 3.5 years." But there's something that took place in secret. It is called, he prayed earnestly that it will not rain. Are we together? There was a word that came from the Lord that there will be no rain. Then there was a man who prayed earnestly that it will not rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. So by the time he was coming to the public to pronounce that there will be no rain, he had already spent time in secret to pray that there will be no rain. God spoke to him. He prayed, and then he spoke out. When God speaks and gives his word to us, we transform those words into action through prayer. Chapter 18, Moses, verse 1 and 2.
First Kings chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, and it reads, "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.'"
Yes, go and do what? Present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain to the land.
So Elijah went to the presence to present himself to Ahab.
So the word of the Lord came to him, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will bring rain to the land." We are still in chapter 18, verse 41 to 44.
And it reads, "While Jezebel was killing all of the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, 'Go through the land, all the springs and valleys. Maybe you can find some grass to keep the horses.'"
No, Moses, you are not there. We are in chapter 18, 41 to 44.
41 to 44, sorry. Yeah. And it reads, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain.' So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. 'Go and look toward the sea,' he told his servants. And he went up and looked. 'There's nothing there,' he said. 7 times Elijah said, 'Go back.' The 7th time, the servant reported, 'A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea.' So Elijah said, 'Go and tell Ahab, hitch up the chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. A power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel.
Thank you. So the word of the Lord came again to Elijah, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will do what? I will bring rain. And then Elijah told the king, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And then what did he do? Read verse 18.
So Ahab went off to...
No, it's James. I told you, you were reading James, chapter 5. What we are seeing is that when God speaks, man must lay hold on what God has said in the place of prayer. There are those who say God has spoken, therefore it will come to pass. Read.
Verse 18. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain.
He prayed. Everybody say he prayed.
He prayed.
Again he prayed.
Again he prayed.
The first time he prayed, and there was no rain. He prayed because God has said there will be no rain. The second time he is praying, so that there will be rain, because God has said he will bring rain. Are we together? Again he prayed. Again he prayed. Again he prayed. The first thing in prophecy is believing the prophecy and believing the prophet. The second thing is that you must lay hold on it through prayer. There's a difference between prophecy and divination. Or there are differences. Divination, the source, the master is the devil. Prophecy, the source, the master is God. Divination, the agent that brings it, the agent are servant of the devil. Prophecy, the agent, servant of God. But one of the most distinctiveness or distinction is the fact that in divination, you just wait. There's no cooperation from man. Prophecy is not divination. In prophecy, God expects us to cooperate with him. The person who does not cooperate with God will never see prophecy come to pass in his life. Prophecy is the root map. But you must take the journey through that pathway. You pray. You lay hold on it through prayer. That's why I say again he prayed. The first time he prayed, then again he prayed. So anybody who sits down passively and say God has spoken, therefore it will come to pass, you are making the prophecy into a divination. We pray, but we don't just pray. We do something about it. We act upon the prophecy. So we believe the prophecy. We believe the prophecy. We pray through the prophecy. And we act upon the prophecy. We believe the word that has come to us. Then we lay hold on it through prayer. And we set out to do something concerning the word that has come to us. By taking this, whatever the Lord has spoken, you need to lay hold on it through prayer. I believe, oh God, that you have given to us this. And you wrestle with God. Satan is very interested in prophecy. Very, very interested in prophecy. Because he wants to make sure that the prophecy of your life does not come to pass.
There's a portion of the Bible that's sometimes very, very interesting. Then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, then the heaven will come. Satan knows that Jesus will not come back until the gospel has been preached to every nation, every place, every tribe, every tongue, every language group, etc. So he does everything to ensure that one tribe somewhere does not hear the gospel. Satan knows prophecy more than us. He knows the prophecy about your life.
So, we receive the prophecy, we believe the prophecy, we believe in our God. We receive the prophecy, we believe his prophets. Because you cannot despise the weapon that God is using to bring you a message, and God will ever, ever bring those words to come to pass in your life.
There is an honor given to prophets that facilitate the fulfillment of prophecy in your life. There's an honor given to prophets. That's why anyone who despises the messengers of God, the ministry that will never happen in your life. I don't want to talk literally about that.
But we are just trying to look at the word that has come to us.
God has spoken to us. If we believe, then we have received prayer direction. And the prayer direction is what God has said, we claim it. And anybody who prays about the king and does not go out is making of his prayer a form of witchcraft. Prayer is not witchcraft. We don't just pray and sit. We pray and we act.
Are we together? So we receive, we believe, we bring it back to God in prayer. Then we set out to go and act on it. Then in the physical realm, we'll see the accomplishment of it.
We receive, we accept it, we take it back to God in prayer, in thanksgiving, in intercession. Then we set out to go and ensure that what God has spoken is not wasted. Then we see it come to pass in the physical. Even the Lord Jesus, he lived and cooperated with God to ensure that all the prophecy about his life came to pass. Who has said that in the Bible? You constantly saw that scripture may be fulfilled, so that scripture may be fulfilled, so that scripture may be fulfilled.
It is said,
it is that, so that prophecy may be fulfilled. When prophecy has come, a person is constantly asking himself, what can I do so that this prophecy may be fulfilled? So that prophecy may be fulfilled. So that scripture may be fulfilled. So that the word that was spoken by the prophet may come to pass. And towards the end, he could say, Jesus, looking at Adam and seeing that all the scripture, all the prophecy have been fulfilled, he said one last thing. Who knows that one last thing he said? I thirst.
There are many things that are. So we have said, we receive, we believe, we accept it, then we take it back to God through prayer, through thanksgiving, through intercession. Then we set out to go and act on it. Then we see the physical fulfillment of it in our lives. And if Jesus could cooperate with his Father, Jesus, who was God, knew that it is in cooperating with God that the prophecy can come to pass. then your own prophecy will never come to pass if you don't fulfill, if you don't cooperate with God. Somebody who is sensitive in the spiritual, we know that this is gold God has given to us. I give you the harvest. I give you abundant harvest. I give you the harvest. You harvest from the work of others. Must be open to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34.
John chapter 4, verse 34. And it reads, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work."
Continue up to verse 38.
"Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor."
Yes. "Do you not say 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest." Some people, for them, 4 more months and then the harvest will come. To them, there are 4 more months the harvest will come.
If you look at it, it's as if the Lord is saying, "This is not normally the harvest time for people, but something has taken place." He said, "Open your eyes! Open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe, ready for harvest." May God cause each of us to open our eyes. Look at the field. For the field is ripe, ready for the harvest. And Jesus said,
"Even now, he says, I send you out. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, the hard work of prayer, the hard work of fasting, the hard work of people, the missionary that came, sacrificed their lives, became martyrs. And as someone said, the blood of the martyr is the seed for the church. They laid down their life, and we have come into an era of harvesting. Even now, you have reaped the benefit of their labors." The Lord has said, "We will harvest from the work of others." That was part of the scripture, the prophecy, isn't it? Therefore, we will believe it, and we said, "I will be surprised what will happen."
It's my cry that will believe, will accept, that will stop being pagans, or not even just pagan, worse than pagan, because pagan believe prophecies. Pagan believe divination.
Is someone who believes that God can speak to you through someone, God has sent his word to you, and when the word has come, you set out to begin to act on it, and very soon you begin to harvest.
Matthew, Moses. chapter 9.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Hallelujah. That the harvest is what? Plentiful. But that the workers are what?
Few.
But in the prophecy, what does the prophecy say about the workers? We are the workers. Let's say, Lord, the workers are no longer few. Say, Lord, the workers are no longer few. We are the workers. We are the workers. I am the harvester, and I will go.
And I will go.
Because it says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into a harvest field." We have been sent out by the prophecy into his harvest field. Those who were around yesterday, I told you people that this prophecy is like an ordination prophecy. I want five people here, just stand, I will give you something to read. After that, another five people, rapidly. I want us to look at how Jesus, no, this side. Okay, fine, since we have stood. Okay, three more people, this side. I want five people to stand. I'm giving you a passage rapidly to read. Jesus had to cooperate with his Father in order to see the prophecy about his life come to pass. From Marcus, Matthew chapter 17, verse 16 and 18. Psalm, Matthew 26, verse 54. Then you will read the verse 56 again. Moses, Mark chapter 14, verse 49. Tony, Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Ayebare, Acts chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 16. Yes. Matthew 17, verse 16 and 18. Just listen about Jesus. We are saying, if you don't cooperate with God, prophecy will never come to pass. Yes, Brother Marcus.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 16 and
16 to 18.
I brought you your disciples, but they did not hear him. I brought him to your disciples, but they did not hear him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me."
Oh, sorry, we have missed it. I'll give you a different one. Sam, read. I'll give you a different one.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 54 and 56. But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that saying must happen this way? But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophet might be fulfilled.
Yes, so this has all taken place, the suffering, the abandoning by people, in order that scripture may be fulfilled.
Mark chapter 14, verse 49, and it reads, "Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled."
The scripture must what? That's what prophecy. prophecy must be fulfilled. Yes, Tony?
Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Jesus told the elders, saying, and told them, "We are going back to Jerusalem, and everything that is written in the prophets about the Son of Man."
Yes, we are way up to Jerusalem, and everything written by the prophet concerning the Son of Man will be what? Who knows what they were going to Jerusalem for? Yes? Yes, Mama?
Yes.
He took the 12 and said, "We are way up to Jerusalem." So everything that is written in the scripture about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He didn't tell them. So I will die. Can you imagine? Somebody knows that going to Jerusalem will mean my death in order that what is written can be fulfilled. I don't know how many of us are willing to pay such price. To pay the complete price so that what has come to us. That's where the lover of God is. Prophecies don't fulfill themselves in the hands of those who despise prophecy, who don't love God, who don't want to cooperate with God. We are going up to Jerusalem. There's a portion of prophecy, the scripture, that must be fulfilled. And that fulfillment is my death.
Acts chapter 1, verse 16. And say, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus."
Everybody said the scripture had to be fulfilled. It had to be fulfilled. That's how to cooperate with God. It, when we tell yourself it must happen, this prophecy must happen. Abramacus, Luke 4, verse 21. You are in John chapter 13, verse 18. 17, John 17, verse 12. John 19. Are people this side so lazy that five people cannot stand up? John 19, 28. Okay, those who are up can read. Bramako, start.
Luke 4:21. "And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'"
Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That was a prophecy. When he took the scroll, what did he do? He opened to the exact place. When you don't even know the prophecy about your life, how will you cooperate with God? Jesus just entered the temple, they handed over the scroll to him. He opened to the exact place that said, "The anointing of the Lord is upon me. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me for this. He took steps to ensure that prophecy, the scripture was fulfilled. And he said, "Today it is fulfilled, we are here." Read.
John 13:18. "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is the fulfillment."
Louder so that he will hear from behind.
"I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me."
Yes. This is to fulfill the scripture. This is to fulfill prophecy. Read.
John 17:20.
No, which one? You are where? 17, verse 12. Everybody open to John chapter 17.
John 17, verse 12 says, "While I was with them, I
protected them and kept themselves by that name. No, while I was with them, I protected them and kept themselves by that name he gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture will be fulfilled.
Yes, none have been lost, only one, so that scripture may be fulfilled. So that what?
Our scripture is called prophecy. The word of the prophets.
Read.
John chapter 19, verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished,
yes,
the scripture of the people said,
get it. Read again. Everybody look at it. That 19, verse 28. Right?
John 19:28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said thus.
Yes. No, what was it that had been accomplished? What was it that all the things that had been accomplished? Pardon?
What has been written about him?
Yes. All that had been written about him had been accomplished except one thing. And before he died, he made sure it was accomplished. What was it? I thirst. And after that, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his guilt. Labor to know all the prophecy that have come concerning your life and comprehend the God and make sure that all the prophecy that have come to you are accomplished. And if there is one, make sure, even if you have died, make sure the last one you have to do it. And for Jesus, it was. It is written. He said, I fast. I fast. That was part of scripture. He lived to fulfill prophecy.
There's a lot that the Lord has given to us.
My harvest. My abundant harvest is upon you. My super abundant harvest is upon you. My harvest, my harvest, my harvest. That is all that the whole prophecy is telling about. Harvest is every area of our work. And harvest upon every, whether it is team, whether it is individuals. Miracle harvest. And part of it here is actually talking about harvest that because of our disobedience in the past, we lost. When you talk about the harvest of 25 years back, what you should have had is say, I give them to you now. The harvest that the early missionary was supposed to have, but by their error they did not have, the Lord said, give them to us. And when the Lord talks about one of the years, the prophetic message was the Isaac year. Who remembers? Yes. But he's saying that he's giving to us that which surpasses the Isaac harvest. And in scripture, it talks about a hundredfold harvest. And he says he's giving to us a thousand, 10,000-fold harvest. Harvest that are for miracle harvest is my cry that we will believe God and will rise, will lay hold. Harvest upon the pastors, upon the children, who have been left out here. Harvest upon the youth, upon the children, upon the missionary, upon the churches, upon the mission field, upon the nation. What a generous God. Who want to cooperate with God to see this prophecy come to pass? You will harvest from the work of 1 year ago, from the work of 5 years, the work of 10 years. It is actually saying that where you went and preached before and people did not believe, you will harvest from there. you will just find those people believing. That would mean that you will have to go back to those where you went in the past and they resisted you. You will harvest and harvest and harvest. You will harvest from all the work you have done. You will harvest from the work that others have done. You will harvest from the work that the missionary that came here at the beginning have done. You will harvest from your sowing, and you will harvest from the sowing of others. I have brought you to the latter rain of my harvest. If you know what the deluge is, during the period of Noah, when God opened the floodgate, water was just coming and coming and coming and coming. That's what he said, the type of harvest that is upon us. I believe his word. When the word came, something took place in my life. It was an exceptional gift. Something just took place and I just believed it. I knew that God has just given me the direction. Why don't you set out? When Brother Theodore, as the fast was ending, after all this, he said we should plan, everybody should plan the next 40 days ahead of us. Then you will be surprised that God will take these 40 days and help you to recover the work of 10 years that you missed. It's a recovery period. It's a period of God's blessing. And brethren, they that set out to do the work of God, God will set out to do their work. Set out to win the lost. Set out to plant churches. Set out to disciple. Set out to build the house churches. Multiply the house churches. And you will be surprised when the Lord talks about harvest. After we define what harvest, as it defines you, what harvest means. Just set out to do the work of God, and you will be surprised what God will do concerning our work. Let our language change. If you are one of those, you just want to tell God, Lord, I'm going to cooperate with you. Just stand up and say, Lord, here I am. I accept that I'm your harvester, and I will go to do the harvesting. I will go to do the harvesting. In your simple, feeble words, just respond and tell me. Tell the Lord, Lord, I just accept your word. I believe your word. And I will pray through your word. And as I'm praying through, I will go out. Begin to talk to him. It's as simple as that. His word says, you are my harvester. You are just telling God, yes, your word says it, and I accept it. I am your harvester. Talk to him. Let's pray. If you're a house church leader, just put up your hand. All the rest, sit down, just only the house church leader. If you are weak and you cannot stand, sit down and put up your hand. If you are a house church leader, put up your hand where? I want to give you people the strategy you should follow. Go to your house church today. If there are only four people in your house church, make them into an evangelistic team, a harvesting team. And if there are eight people, make two teams and use the remaining part of the year for the harvesting. If you have 16 people, make 14 or 4-4. Divide your house church into a group of 4-4. If there are only two of you, that is one team. If there are five of you, make one team. We have over 250 house churches. We first of all want to start by making all the house churches, by just saying we have one team in all the house churches. And we want to establish 500 teams, harvesting teams, and see what God will do with us
between now and the year ending. Sit down. So we have a goal, 500 team of 4 people. Therefore, you already have a team. Just go in your house church. If there are more than 4 people, see how it is. And start with 2 teams. If you have 40 or 500 teams of 4, then we have 2,000 people who are effectively doing something. But we believe that we shall have more than that.
So if you are one of those pray that we'll have 500 active teams. That is the word I am carrying. That's the word as I go to the churches, because I want to go to all the churches and help all our leaders to establish harvesting teams. And at the end of the year, we will be able to present to the Lord and say, you said this, that we were your harvesters, we have not failed you. Let's lift our hand and say, Lord, give us at least the first team of 500, the first 500 teams. Let's pray, Lord, give us the first 500 team of at least 4 people who will launch out aggressively to effectively harvest. Let's pray together.
Pray that all the harvest leaders will operate and not fail off and not fail their people. Pray, oh God, that our pastor leader will work on and direct the brethren in the right direction to give themselves to the harvesting work. Pray.
Bro Evans and Bro Tony, both of you stand up and tell the Lord, Lord, we have heard your word. And today, as we leave this place, we go out for you. We go out for you. We go out for you. Use us mightily to accomplish that which you have called us to do. Yes, Tony. I told you. Yeah.
Father, we have had your word. You have spoken so well and so clear. I pray that as we go out today, that you will use us to harvest, you will use us to do that for which you have called us to do. That which you have already done, that you have done to do, we shall not collect a harvest for God that is here outside waiting for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are the Lord. I pray that each one of us will cooperate with you to God for the harvest of God.
Amen. So is the direction of for the remaining part of the year clear before us? Do we now know what we are going to be doing? In order that scripture may be, prophecy may be, in order that prophecy may be fulfilled, we shall give ourselves to only one thing, harvesting. Harvesting, harvesting, harvesting. Set a clear goal and a clear program. If you do that and pay the price in prayer, pay the price in going, by the end of the year, you'll be surprised what God would have used you to do. May God bless you as you set out to cooperate with the Lord so that prophecy may be fulfilled. You cooperate by believing the prophecy, you cooperate by praying back to him, you cooperate by going. May God bless you.